بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا يليق بجلال وجهه وعظيم سلطانه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك وكرم على سيدنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء وإمام المرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعلمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم يا حليم خلقنا بخلق الحلم وحققنا بحقائق العلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله. So continuing with the Rawha from the book of Imam Abdullah bin Alawi al-Haddad رضي الله عنه ونفعنا به. May Allah be well pleased with him and benefit us through him. He's talking about in the last several Rawhas, we've been looking at various chapters related to knowledge and related to beneficial knowledge, neutral knowledge, harmful knowledge, how to prioritize them, what the most beneficial types of knowledge are. And we're now on chapter 16, where Imam Al-Haddad titles it, how to choose what one needs between knowledge and what kind of knowledge and worship and so forth. So this is a little bit of a longer chapter, so we'll spend more time reading what Imam Al-Haddad says and learning from that and benefiting from that, and only commenting where it's necessary, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Bismillah. Some seekers of the real, Al-Haqq, one of the names of Allah, traveling on the way to God, look at the great variety of sciences and works and the multitude of paths to God the Exalted, and are at a loss to decide which to choose. So they halt perplexed. Now, if he who is in such a state is under the caring gaze of a scholarly sheikh who has direct knowledge and realization, it is incumbent upon him to follow him and accept whatever science, works, state, or way, whether religious or worldly, his sheikh recommends or specifies to him. This will suffice to fulfill all his needs. If he has no sheikh, or if his sheikh does not fulfill the conditions we have just mentioned, then let him know first of all that some sciences and actions are obligatory and incumbent upon all. These are the sciences of Iman, faith, which safeguards one's beliefs, and of Islam, such as purification, ritual prayer, fasting, and other similar things. One must know and practice these regardless of one's particular circumstances. When this is done, one may then choose the sciences, works, behavior, and states that he feels are most suited to him, most beneficial to his heart, and nearest to the good pleasure of his Lord. These will be clear to him if his intention, desire, and quest for God the Exalted and his path are sincere. So here Imam Al-Haddad is highlighting the ways that a person is able to choose between the various sciences that are available, whether those sciences are the sciences of the Qur'an, the sciences of the Arabic language, the sciences of Hadith, the sciences related to the sacred law, whether that's fiqh or usul, the sciences related to aqidah, to iman, and then going deeper into kalam and theology and things of that nature, going from the sciences that are related to the texts, the scriptures, the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or the sciences that are in service of those greater sciences, whether that's logic or rhetoric or otherwise. That Imam Al-Haddad says the best thing is that if you have a sheikh, a scholarly sheikh who has direct knowledge and realization, meaning that that sheikh is of the people who are so rarefied and Allah has given them tawfiq that they are able to take people on the spiritual path, then the first thing that you can do is ask what they see as best for you. And Imam Al-Haddad, he says that the sciences are like medicine. And sometimes there might be certain medicines that can harm you if you don't use them properly, or if you take too much of it, or it might not be the medicine that you actually need, right? So he says that there are different sciences, and that there are certain sciences, such as anything related directly to the Qur'an and having reverence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his seerah, his shama'il, and so forth, that are so clearly beneficial that instead of looking at them sort of like medicine, we could look at them as nourishment, as the essential vitamins and minerals that the soul constantly and always needs. Then there are other sciences that when a person goes deeper, they might become really interested, for example, in theology. And the sheikh realizes that that's actually not what's best for them. Or someone might become very interested in fiqh. And maybe in the case of that person, they might be prone to arguing and they might be prone to arrogance. So then the sheikh doesn't think that that's necessarily, because of his great insight, recognizes that this is not what's good for the student at that point. If a person doesn't have that, then they should go through this breakdown that Imam al-Haddad mentions, right? So, and to have the sincerest intention, and to think about what brings the person closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people, they get really interested in the different sciences as almost like an intellectual pursuit. And that's not necessarily bad in and of itself. But if they're not seeking it to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it can be very dangerous. Imam al-Haddad continues and says, at this stage, there are great variations between different travelers and seekers of the real al-haq, Allah. Some things will suit and benefit certain persons, but not others, and vice versa. Some sciences will suit some, but not others. And the same applies to works. For example, charity might be what one person needs, but another person needs to break their nafs through fasting. A person might whose nafs does not want to be in front of other people, maybe the sheikh will make them teach in front of people. And another person who seeks fame, the sheikh gives them an act of worship that they do in private. So once again, and these people, they exist and they're real, but we have to seek out those who truly fit those qualifications. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them and benefit us through their knowledge and through their barakah. So he says that some of these sciences are not for everyone. Some seekers, for instance, benefit from isolation, which improves their states, while for others, only mixing with people is suitable. Some will benefit only from divesting themselves of means, while others must use them. The same applies to traveling about or staying put, and other contrasting states and situations. A traveler who engages in what he feels is best suited for him and most conducive to the good pleasure and proximity of his Lord should neither deny nor be hostile, simply for not being his own way or condition, to whatever differs from his own circumstances and the path he is traveling, when these are legally acceptable practices, the correctness of which is confirmed by the Book of God the Exalted and the Sunnah of His Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala alihi. Right? So what this means is that if a person is on the spiritual path, and someone else is doing something different from what they're doing, then they should not be hostile or say, my way is better, or this person is not doing it right. And to recognize that as long as whatever the other person is doing is halal within the sharia, then they should leave them to their way. Imam al-Haddad continues and he says, for Allah, transcendent and exalted is He, to whom all praise belongs, creates for each science those who learn and practice it, for each path those who travel it, and for each station and state those who live and manifest them. To each that which suits him best, nothing else. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepts nothing else from them. In this lie secrets and wisdom, the explanation of which would be too lengthy and which are difficult to penetrate, save for those who are possessed of inward vision and hearts, see by the light of God the Exalted, are well versed in knowledge, and to whom God the Exalted from His presence reveals the mysteries. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith, اتَّقُوا فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Be careful or be aware of the insight of the believer, for the believer sees with the light of Allah. So this is what Imam al-Haddad is referring to. So if someone might be hearing this and say, hold on, this sounds really far out. I've never heard this before. The reality is that you have to just look at the state of the Sahaba radwanallahi ta'ala alayhim, and the fact that they were able to have such a deep insight and recognize where people were at and what different people needed. There was a man who came to Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sirin, may Allah have mercy on him, and he asked him the question. He said, can a person who commits murder and kills another Muslim, can they repent? And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, yes. Another man came to him at another time and said, can a person who kills a Muslim repent? And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, no, can't. There's no tawbah after that. So his students were confused. They said, how can you give the totally opposite answer, two different answers to the same question? And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sirin, he said, the first person who came and asked the question, to which I responded that yes, there is tawbah after killing someone, had sadness and regret on their face. So he had this basira, he had this insight, he had this firasa, and he recognized the emotional and spiritual state of the person before him. He said, the second person who came to me and asked, can someone make tawbah after killing a Muslim, had anger in their eyes. So they were preparing to kill someone, whereas the first person had already committed the sin and they were looking for a way to turn back to Allah. The second person was thinking about it and saying, is there any way that I can get away with this? And he said, no. So once again, the ulama and the salihin and the people who are firmly rooted in knowledge and in ibadah and in righteousness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open up the eye of their heart. So if someone is unfamiliar with this, that's fine, but you just need to learn a little bit more and to see the miraculous things that the Sahaba did, radiallahu anhum, many, many times. And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sirin is one of the tabi'een. So the Sahaba are even more amazing in their hal and in their states. To continue, when a traveler looks into sciences, traveler meaning a salik, someone who is traveling on the spiritual path. When a traveler looks into sciences, ulum, works, a'mal, paths and states other than his own, he must observe the following. If he finds his heart uncollected and his traveling disturbed, then he must refrain from further delving into them and steer away. If on the other hand he finds that he remains collected and undisturbed, then it is harmless for him to delve into such matters. In other words, what Imam al-Haddad is saying, and you know, we live in a world today where people, we love options. And we love the fact that we have access to so many different kinds of things. But if a person, by being exposed to other kinds of ulum and other kinds of a'mal and other spiritual paths and states other than the ones that he is used to, that he is taking from his shuyukh, and then they create like a disturbance for that person. Oh, those people do it that way. Oh, those people seem to be in a greater hal. Oh, those people seem to have more knowledge. And they start to get, confused. Then a person should refrain and stay away from them. But if another person who's more firmly established and understands what's going on and sees these things and says, MashaAllah, you know, الطرق إلى الله كعدد أنفاس البشر, the paths to Allah are as numerous as the breaths of humanity. Millions and billions of possibilities. So MashaAllah, this person is going to Allah on this path. This person is going to Allah on that path. This person is going to Allah with good character. This person is going to Allah with mujahada and fighting against their nafs. This person is going to Allah with qiyam al-layl. This person is going to Allah with Qur'an. This person is going to Allah with charity and khidmah. This person is going to Allah with humility. This person is going to Allah with patience. This person is going to Allah with gratitude. Ooh, there's so many choices. But my path to Allah is following what my Shaykh told me to do. Oh, but they seem to be progressing faster than I am. Then look in your own heart. And Imam al-Haddad is saying, if you get confused by that, and the shaitan can then whisper to you, avoid looking at anyone else. If you can appreciate it and wish the best for everyone, then there's no problem with that. Imam al-Haddad continues, let him know that there are many sciences and paths and works and paths that are and that these are in a general way suitable for all people. When it comes down to details, however, particular people may or may not benefit, or may even be harmed by particular sciences, works, or paths. Their likeness is that of a table laden with food, from which each guest chooses what suits and pleases him best, and is in harmony with his constitution, and leaves the rest, which may be suitable or pleasing to others. They may also be likened to the marketplace, where there are many different kinds of goods. Each person enters the market looking for what best suits him and fulfills his own particular needs, leaving everything else to the others. It is not for him to deny or be annoyed by the large number of articles in the market simply because he neither needs nor desires them. For he does not represent the whole of humanity, such that none should desire that which he himself does not. Now that you have grasped the meaning of the examples given by the table and the market, and the multiplicity of foods on one and goods in the other, and that they are on offer for each man to take whatever he wishes or feel is best for him, know that in this regard, people are divided into four groups. The first group comprises of those who, beholding the multiplicity of foods and goods, simply take what suits them and neither desire nor are bothered by the rest. They are reasonable, superior, far-sighted people. It's like someone who goes to the store and says, "Ooh, I wish I could have that." Even though you have something else. "Oh, that shirt looks so nice on that person. My shirt is nice, but I wish I had that." You're gonna get confused. But if someone says, "Mashallah, that really suits them. And alhamdulillah, Allah has given me something that suits me. Alhamdulillah." Then Imam al-Haddad says they are reasonable, superior, and far-sighted people. The second group comprises those who take that which is of benefit to them, but detest all other things and think that nobody can possibly desire them. There is stupidity and short-sightedness in this. Oh, you know, our tariqah, we do this. And people who don't do this, they're deficient. And that, what they do, I don't like it. And what they do, I don't like that either. Alhamdulillah, we're the best. So they take what benefits them. They say, "Mashallah, we have this, we have that. Our sheikh says this, we follow these awrad, we do alhamdulillah." And the person benefits from that, and that's good. But then they look at someone else, they say, what are they doing? They're doing this, they're doing that. That's not going to be, what benefit of that? What benefit is that? Right? So that person has, Imam al-Haddad says, stupidity and short-sightedness in this. Why? Because you are limiting the paths of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to have respect as long as what? It's permissible in the Sharia. If it's not permissible in the Sharia, you can criticize it, and rightfully show. So you should criticize it and say, "This is haram. How can you say that this is going to bring you closer to Allah when this is exactly what Allah told you not to do?" So that's a totally different situation. The third group comprises those who desire everything they see, whether suitable and of benefit to them or not. They may thus want that which is of no use and no benefit to them, or they may desire one thing some of the time and another some of the time. In this, there is stupidity, idle curiosity, and lack of insight. Right? So this is someone who says, for example, Habib Hussein was mentioning. So this is someone who says, oh, I've been with this sheikh for so long and I haven't seen the prophet, you know, in a dream. This sheikh is useless. Let me go, oh, look at this other sheikh. You know, how many people see the prophet with him? Astaghfirullah al-Aleem. That's the measure of your suluk? That's the measure of your spiritual path? The most important thing, whether you see the prophet or not, I mean, there are means to do that. And that's definitely a gift from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't underestimate that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us that. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sees me has truly seen me, because the shaytan cannot impersonate me. So Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. But that's not the measure of the shaykh, or seeing miracles, or that the shaykh makes you feel good. What is the entire point of having a teacher, a shaykh? What is the entire point of embarking on the path? It is to overcome your nafs and to be in a state of absolute and complete ubudiyah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's it. And much of that does not feel very good on the nafs. And the fruits of that we are looking for in the akhirah. If we have the fruits of that in this world, alhamdulillah, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ. But what we are really preparing for is meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And being, inshaAllah, in the company of the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So this is like someone who, when they see the sciences and the shuyukh, say, mashallah, oh, look at this one. And then they go to another sheikh's dhikr, and they feel like a really spiritual, oh, maybe I should take this person as my sheikh. And then they see another one. That's like someone who, it's like someone who's on a diet. And then, I'm going to follow this diet. And they're like, oh, this other person lost weight on this other diet. Let me go to, and then you mix the two together. Then the person actually gains weight and gets unhealthy. They mix the wrong foods, like Imam al-Haddad was saying, that certain foods, okay, if you do this, you have high protein, low carb, you know, but then this one is high fat, low sugar. You mix it all together, you're gonna not feel good. You're gonna become unhealthy. So stick to the door that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for you. And if there are serious issues, that's a different story. We're not talking about that. But don't become overly affected by what other people are doing. Right? And a lot of people, unfortunately, this happens to a lot of people. Oh, do we have this kind of dhikr like that group? Oh, that sheikh said this. Oh, this. Or people get caught up. And unfortunately, the students of the shuyukh oftentimes, who are immature, they can confuse other people. Oh, my sheikh is the best. Oh, this is the best. And they confuse other people. But you say, لِكُلِّ أُنَاسٍ مَشْرَبَهُمْ. To every people, they have their water spring. They have their drinking place. And everyone, if you're sincere with Allah and you want to get close to Allah, Bismillah. Don't look. They say, الملتفت لا يصل. The person who keeps looking around never gets to their destination. But من سار على الدرب وصل. But whoever sticks to the path and keeps walking along it, they arrive. The fourth group comprises those who, when they see the number of different foods and goods, stop, perplexed, unable to decide what to desire or choose. You see them bewildered and baffled. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do that. And it's just like, you need to seek Allah. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do what you think is of the most benefit. And don't get, it's like when you go to the store, you go to a restaurant and there's like way too many options. You're like, I don't know what to get. But, on the spiritual path, you say, Allah, I want you, and guide me to the one who will guide me to you. Show me the best path in my life for me that will bring me to you. And then, وَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And when you are determined, خلاص, you make that decision and you put your trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and you never look back. Never look back. Now these states may occur to any of those who study the different sciences, works, paths, and states. عُلُوم, أَعْمَال, طرق and أحوال. Those are the words in Arabic. You may see one of them desiring everything, another perplexed and unable to decide what to do, and yet another holding on firmly to something which is of benefit to him, but exhibiting distaste, revulsion, and antagonism for everything else. In all these last three, there is imperfection, lack of insight, and short-sightedness. So be alert, O seeker, and understand what we have just said, for it is important and of great moment. Some of this issue occurred with my master, the Sheikh Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhili radiallahu anhu, at the outset of his wayfaring. He hesitated much between studying the sciences or devoting himself to acts of worship and traveling the path. He remained thus for a considerable time until he visited a Sheikh who helped him overcome his indecision. And that was Sheikh Abdus Salam ibn Mashish radiallahu anhu. So in the case of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Shadhili, should I dedicate myself entirely to knowledge or should I dedicate myself entirely to the spiritual path? And he found someone who could guide him through those questions, right? So once again, the answer for him from his sheikh is not necessarily the answer for everyone in their spiritual journeys. There are some people who need more knowledge. There are some people who need more spirituality. And for everyone, they need both. For everyone, they need both. The story is very well known. A somewhat similar situation befell the venerable Sheikh Abdullah ibn As'ad al-Yafi'i radiallahu anhu, who said, as I was hesitating whether to engage in studies or devote myself totally to worshipping and dedicating myself to God the Exalted, I happened to pick up a book and found in it a piece of paper which did not belong there, and which I had never seen before, even though I had often perused that book. On that piece of paper were a few verses beginning with the following: turn away from your worries and leave everything to destiny. You will by now realize that such things tend to occur to people of beginnings and to travelers at the outset of their paths. So once again, a person, when they're starting off, there is a lot of confusion, and the shaitan tries to take advantage of that. Should I take the spiritual path? Should I do this? Who's the sheikh for me? And I've noticed that Westerners struggle a lot with this, because I think a lot of people suffer from indecision, you know, that they doubt, well, what if I do this? And they, you know, the opportunity cost, and it's become a thing now where they call it the fear of missing out. If I make one decision, I'm going to miss out on another decision. What if this happens? What if? لَوْ وَلِمْ وَكَيْفْ قَوْلِ ذِي حَمَقْ. Imam al-Haddad says, if and why and how, when you're asking that to Allah, why are these, if this happens, why did this happen, how did this happen? He said, this is the statement of a fool, right? But لَا يَكْثُرُ هَمُّكْ مَا قُدِّرْ يَكُونْ. Do not have your worries, you know, turn away from your worries. And as Imam al-Haddad said, whatever is decreed will happen. You put your trust in Allah. And you have to, especially at the beginning of the spiritual path, you have to take all of that worry, all of the anxiety that comes maybe with the indecision, all of the deep spiritual need of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that something needs to change considerably in your life, and direct that into tawajjuh, into a strong focus, and turn to Allah with every fiber of your being and ask Allah to guide you. And they say that if the seeker, the one who seeks nearness to Allah, is sincere, they will find the sheikh at their doorstep. And it happens. I've seen it with my own eyes. It happens. Where people don't even know who the sheikh is, and then they'll see a dream. I'm in town. Come visit me. I saw this. People will come. Like, oh, this is the sheikh I saw in my dream last night. Like, who are you? It's like, I don't know. I just saw him in my dream last night. He told me to come. I'm in town. La ilaha illallah. Lillah fi khalqihi shu'un. Allah has amazing things in His creation and His will. You know, they say God works in mysterious ways. Very true. So not to be overcome by worries, but that when we find someone who reminds us, the best criteria, someone once asked me, oh, why is this sheikh so special? And you know, people love like really like juicy answers. Oh, he, you know, has this miracle and that miracle and that. And as Imam al-Haddad, he says, Akbar karama al-istiqama, the greatest miracle is steadfastness. So I said, the reason I love this sheikh is I've never met anyone in my life who reminds me of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as much. And in reality, there is no greater praise. There is no greater praise. So that's what we're looking for. Whoever reminds you of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whoever in their states, in their akhlaq, in their knowledge, in their presence, then hold on to that person. And Allah will open doors for you. Now, Imam al-Haddad continues and he says, I once visited the Arif Billah, the knower of God, Sayyid Abd al-Rahman ibn Shaykh Aidid Alawi, and he informed me that he received a letter from the Sufi Sayyid Abdullah ibn Muhammad Alawi, who lives in Medina the Noble. In that letter, he complained that the study of books had become too preoccupying and distracting for him, or something to that effect. Sayyid Abd al-Rahman then asked me what he should write back to him. I said, you know better. And he said, my own opinion is to ask him to abandon the study of books and refrain from too much reading. It immediately occurred to me that what Sayyid Abdullah ibn Muhammad had complained about was what had happened to him as he studied the books and saw the multitude of paths and different conditions. This had led him into the kind of perplexity and indecisiveness that we have just been discussing. We had actually met with Sayyid Abdullah when he visited Medina the Noble to visit the Messenger of God, may blessings and peace be upon him and his family. We saw him and sat in his company many times, benefited from it, and found him to be a superior Sayyid whose state was that of the people of contraction and anonymity. May God allow people to benefit from him, his ancestors, and all other virtuous servants of his. This is a very interesting passage by Imam al-Haddad. MashaAllah. The point here is that certain people, as Imam al-Haddad is indicating here, don't let anyone misunderstand that the reading of books and the seeking of sacred knowledge is something that Imam al-Haddad is discouraging. But there are some people whose hearts are so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they know what they have the knowledge that they need of fard'ain knowledge, of ibadah, of the halal and the haram, of iman, of ihsan. And they're fully turning their heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in that case, reading different books might not necessarily be what's best for them. Right? So it seems that that's what Imam al-Haddad. But with that being said, you know, I think the greatest way to describe it is that if someone is seeking knowledge in an academic setting, that's in the vast majority of cases, that's going to be damaging spiritually. I don't know too many people who've done their PhDs in Islamic studies without their hearts becoming affected. You're taking from the ahwal of people who are kuffar, and maybe some of them are Muslims, and you're going to be with them for years and read their books and see their analyses and so forth. And then you have the people who are the knowers of Allah, the hearts that shine with divine lights. The two are not the same. you know, to put it nicely, the two are not the same. In reality, one is poison and one is nutrition and nourishment. So the way that you seek knowledge, the kinds of books that you're reading, the different paths, Imam al-Haddad is saying how to choose, and he begins the chapter and he ends the chapter with what? Having a sheikh of realization who can guide you on your way. And I've seen this. I've seen the same sheikh tell one person, two people were very close, and their journey seemed very similar. And he told one of them, continue seeking knowledge full time. And the other one asked, can I seek knowledge like my brother? And he said, you stay in da'wah and seek knowledge where you can, but your place is da'wah. And it was, you know, it was amazing because that's someone of insight. He knows what this student needs in their service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their potential. And he knows what this student needs and their potential and what will bring them closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone on the outside might be like, oh, but this is better. But alhamdulillah, you got your answer. It's like you go to the doctor and the doctor says, okay, you know what? My knees hurt. Another person says, my knees hurt. Oh, I can tell from your posture why your knees hurt. Oh, your knees hurt because of calcium. The same thing, but totally different reasons. You have a calcium deficiency, you have a problem with your posture. But we don't see that. So a lot of people might not necessarily appreciate and understand. And for those who don't have a sheikh, then they can go through the knowledges that are of the most benefit to the heart and not get into contentious things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of knowledge and realization. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the best path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the best knowledge and the best path and the best of a'mal and the best of acts of worship and the best of states for each and every one of us so that we can be of those who arrive at nearness to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and that He bestows upon us the lights of nearness and the garment of honor and that Allah opens the eyesight, the inner sight of our hearts such that we witness Him and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to overcome our lower nufus and to overcome our sins and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us a tawbah nasuha, a sincere repentance and cleanses us from all of the shackles and the filth of our sins so that we can be pure and enter into His divine presence and be of those that He gives divinely inspired knowledge within their hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who are guided and a guide for others. May He fill our hearts with nur and make our hearts irrigate the hearts of others and fill their hearts with nur. Fi khayr wa lutfa afiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the most blessed of the ummah for the ummah and the most beneficial of the ummah for the rest of the ummah and for all of humanity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide whoever in His infinite knowledge and His decree and His will are destined to be guided. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hasten with their guidance and that we see the manifestation of the promise of Allah and His Messenger in our lifetimes, in these lands, and in lands all over the world where Islam enters every single home, whether it's in the cities or whether it's in the faraway places, the small towns and villages. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us that and that He grant us husn al-khatima at the end of our lives. And that the last words that we say are La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mutahaqqiqina bihaqa'iqiha hissan wa ma'na zahir wa batin. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actualizes us in its realities inwardly and outwardly, and that we die upon it and that we're resurrected upon it and that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in ala hadhihi an-niyya wa kulli niyyatin salihah jami'a shamila li khayrat ad-dunya wal-akhirah. Al-Fatiha ila hadratin nabiy.